Welcome to the Data Democracy. Presented by renowned O'Reilly author Olsen Ben-Yur. And powered by Xenia. Make your data accessible and discoverable by anyone, anywhere, at any time.
Hi everybody, you're listening to the Data Democracy, and I am your host Ole Olesen Ben-Yur, Chief Evangelist in Xenia and the author of the Enterprise Data Catalog published with O'Reilly. In this podcast, we explore what an enterprise data democracy is with knowledgeable guests. Today's guest is Ayo Ololeye. Ayo holds a leadership position at a financial services group where he leads a dynamic data team driving analytics initiatives to empower the organization. He's furthermore the author of Exploratory Data Analysis with Python Cookbook, over 50 recipes to analyze, visualize, and extract insights from structured and unstructured data, published with PACT. Takeaways. First, a data leader takeaway. Although I'm not the biggest fan of career planning, it may be wise to have a certain idea of where you want to go and then accelerate to get there. That is the data leader takeaway I got from this conversation. And second, my data democracy takeaway, community really is key, and the tech hubs of the African continent are booming these years. And just like everywhere else, ideas spread mainly online. So that's a great way to see data democratized all over the world. And third, a personal takeaway. Ayo is a great example of what writing and thinking can do. He wrote a post on Medium, and then Ayo became an author. Don't forget to write and post, everyone. Okay, enough of me talking. Let's hear what Ayo has to say. Hi, Ayo.
Hi, Oli.
Hi, nice to have you on.
Yeah, thank you very much. And happy to be here.
Yeah, you're most welcome. For the listeners, Ayo, would you care to explain a little bit about your professional background, perhaps where you're based, what you do, stuff like that?
All right, fantastic. So my name is Ayo Delele, based in Nigeria. I'm a data professional with about a decade of experience. The interesting thing about my journey is I started as a graphic designer. So while I was studying engineering, I spent a lot of time teaching myself graphic design and building a business out of it. However, in my final year, I stumbled on consulting and I decided to build a career in that instead. So in 2013, I joined PwC as a management consultant, and I spent about 4 years, you know, advising companies on strategy and operations. And I'll say as a consultant, I loved, you know, crunching numbers, loved working with Excel. However, I disliked, you know, doing research, and I disliked doing PowerPoint slides, right? So sometime in, you know, late 2016, 2017, I worked on a project with the analytics unit in PwC. Then it was a very new unit, and I liked what I saw. I liked the work that was done. And in 2017, I decided to pivot into analytics. So in that unit, I worked on, you know, several projects, data analysis projects, data science projects, data engineering projects. And fast forward to 2021, I moved into my current role as the head of data and insights at ARM Holding Company, which is a leading asset management group within West Africa. Yeah. So that's it about me.
Wow. Wow. What a background. I think it's super interesting. We'll dive into the details once we unpack the conversation. But many of my guests here on the Data Democracy have been very fortunate to make
transitions.
Transitions, like exactly. Substantial transitions in their career. And I think you made a great transition there. What was the biggest obstacle for making that transition?
So I'll say the biggest obstacle really was, I'll say first, it was finding what to do, right? Because I always wanted to do tech right from my formative years. I was exposed to computers right from when I was 11, 12. So I'd always played around with computers, which was why, you know, I got tired of doing PowerPoint slides and research, because I wanted to do something hands-on, yeah. Right? But on the flip side, I also didn't want to do just core programming, software development, right? So Finding out about data analytics was perfect for me because I was a numbers guy and I didn't mind picking up programming because I also have a technical background. So I'll say that was the first obstacle. Eventually, I found data analytics. The second obstacle was when I moved into the new team, the data analytics team, I was already a team lead in my previous unit and I maintained being a team lead. But what that meant was the initial days were really tough because I was expected to lead a team when I was the least experienced person in that team. Oh, yeah. Right. So I had to work long hours, you know, learning SQL, learning R, Python, you know, Power BI and the like. So those initial days were very tough, very long hours, no weekends, you know, just trying to invest time into learning the basics of data and data analytics. Yeah.
Wow. But I think, well, bravo, it's a great move. And it takes a lot of work to make such a transition. So I can easily imagine how hard that was. Maybe that was also what motivated to, you're an author of the book, as I said in the introduction, you have written exploratory data analysis with Python. What made you write that book? Was that the transition that gave you the experience that you wanted to explain what you learned, or how did that come about?
All right, fantastic. So I'll say it wasn't the transition. I'd say that I've always loved writing. Started writing over a decade ago, actually, sometime in 2012. It was mostly like faith-based articles, but that experience made me realize that I knew how to write. So fast forward to 2014-15, I offered to write a few articles as a management consultant, which were published, you know, on a company-wide blog. 2016, I wrote, you know, some research paper that was published in like a leading business publication here in Nigeria. And then 2 years, you know, after, which was like a year into when I started my data journey, right? I signed up to be an author on Towards Data Science. I don't know if you know Towards Data Science.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's a leading blog, yeah. So I was just 1 year in and I felt that, you know, I just wanted to share my, you know, my journey and my story. So I wrote an article titled 10 Things Every Aspiring Data Scientist, you know, Should Know. And it was from there I then started to write more data-related, you know, articles, started to write on LinkedIn. And so I'd always been passionate about, you know, writing. And so when the guys at PACT came around and said, oh, we need you to write, you know, a book, or are you interested in writing a book about, you know, exploratory data analysis in Python? I was very excited because for me, it was a perfect opportunity, you know, to express that passion of writing, which I've always had. Yeah. So that was it. That was the reason behind it.
Yeah. Oh, that's the best way to become an author. You get approached. That's really, really exclusive. But of course, it's obvious if you have contributed to both, for the listeners, Towards Data Science is a magazine published on Medium. And also, of course, a very, very important blog or call it a review, right? I've been enjoying a lot of articles there. So there is a great visibility in publishing there as well. So for the book, like, I guess it was a pleasure for you to write that book.
Yeah.
How long time did it take? I mean, I remember the feeling of writing a book as both a very pleasant experience, but also quite tough. It's a long document to write, right?
Yeah.
What about the conversations that your book started? What kind of conversations have you had? What kind of conversations have you enjoyed?
Yeah, okay. So I'd say let me start by saying that, you know, writing a book is a deeply rewarding experience, even though it's also very tough. Because, I mean, like you said, it's actually easy to start writing, but, you know, finishing the book is where it gets really rough and tough. But, you know, I'm happy I did. And it's first, finishing it is deeply rewarding, but, you know, the conversations that then start, you know, you then start to have after you've published the book even make it more rewarding, right? So, you know, I've had people reach out to say, oh, If they had to, you know, read up on EDA or find out about EDA, they had to go through several resources. They had to go through articles, blogs. They had to go through YouTube videos and several other, you know, resources just to get an idea of what EDA is all about, or to get an idea of the various parts of EDA, because you can have EDA for, you know, text, you can have EDA for structured data. And even with structured data, there are several techniques, you know. So I've had people reach out to say, you know what, this book actually puts everything into one place, right? And that's something that they find really helpful and, you know, has been phenomenal. So I'll say for me, that has even made, you know, writing the book a lot more rewarding, because, you know, I'm then sure that people are finding it very helpful and useful. Yeah,
that's super nice. It's really a very different experience writing the book, being very isolated and facing those finalizing moments, right? And then when you open up and communicate with readers afterwards, that's just such a pleasure. I want to dive into another topic. Okay. And the topic that I... that made me discover you in the first place on LinkedIn. I think I had spotted you already before that, but what really sparked my interest was that you participated in something called DataFest Africa. Can you tell us about that?
Okay, so so DataFest Africa, as the name implies, right? It's an African data conference, and you know what makes it very unique and different is the fact that it covers the full spectrum of, you know, the data space, right? So typically what we have had is you have people focusing on data science, you have people focusing on, you know, data engineering, or you have conferences focusing on, you know, data governance. But what we then did with, you know, DataFest Africa was to pull that all together into one place under one roof, right? Where, you know, we have different people talking about data governance, data engineering, data analysis, data science, and, you know, more recently, artificial intelligence, right? All in one place. And I'll say that what DataFest Africa does is that it provides a platform, right, for enthusiasts and professionals to network, provides a platform for them to learn, right, and to share knowledge and best practices. And that's what makes it very interesting. I'll say that the overall goal is to build the future of the data space in Africa through inspiring and empowering. So inspiring would be for, you know, the enthusiasts, right, people who they want to get into the space, they're looking for people to mentor them, they're trying to understand what's going on, right, just before they take that huge step. And then for the professionals, it's more of empowerment where, you know, they're getting to learn the best practices, they're networking with, you know, other professionals and, you know, learning as they go. So I'd say that, yeah, in a nutshell, that's it. That's it about DataFest Africa. And we started the first conference was in 2022. And so we had the second edition just last year, October.
Oh yeah, wonderful! It sounds really, really great. I was very surprised to find it. I mean, it's Africa, of course, is a very, very big continent, and I guess the tech hubs around on the African continent must be very, very far apart, right?
Yeah.
In terms of distance, and so I was quite surprised to see a conference covering. All of Africa, but so I guess 2023 were there more participants than in 2022? Is it growing?
So yes, there were. So 2022 we had about 2,000 in terms of total attendance over the 2 days, and then in 2023 that was 2,800 over 2,800. Now this was physical attendance. I'm sure if we start to like count the virtual and all that, it will most likely be way higher. And then 2023, we had about 7 countries, you know, represented. I don't know for 2022, but I mean, 2023 had about 7 countries, and obviously still counting, because in 2024 we plan to, you know, ensure that we have more coverage.
I'm sure you will get more coverage. I had a look at the program, the themes. Yeah. It's very impressive. What about the presentations? What did you enjoy most from DataFest Africa in the last year in 2023?
Okay, so that's a tricky question. And the reason it's a tricky question is because I actually lead the speaker engagement team. So So my team was responsible for picking the, you know, the speakers, coming up with the agenda and all. But I mean, I'll speak from a personal perspective, right? So I'll say for me, I enjoyed the panel sessions a whole lot. Two panel sessions stood out. There was one on maximizing business value from data, where we had, you know, industry experts come together to share ideas on how data is creating value for organizations, how artificial intelligence is also doing the same. We had another one on building high performance teams, right? High performance data teams. I also found that really helpful. Apart from the panel sessions, we had something called expert sessions this year. Last year. And the idea behind the expert session was to get experts within either a domain or, you know, a particular space to speak to us about various things. And two of them stood out. The first that stood out was one on soccer. So we had someone who had, you know, done some internship and worked with either Liverpool or Chelsea, can't quite remember now, right, the football club. And, you know, he came around to just talk about the experience on how you know, analytics can be used and data can be used in soccer. And I found that really interesting. We also had someone from AWS who talked about large language models, you know, what to expect, you know, what's happening in the space. I also found that to be very interesting. And then we had workshops too, which were, you know, really very amazing, covering things like Microsoft Fabric, you know, large language models and the likes. So yeah, it was really great. It was really great. Several really impactful sessions. Yeah,
that definitely sounds very, very inspiring. And just to get it right, what's your role in DataFest Africa? It sounds like you have some kind of organizing role.
Okay, yeah. So I lead the, so it's a team of, you know, several people, but I lead the team, the speaker engagement team. So basically, speaker engagement team comes up with the, you know, various topics. We look for speakers and invite them. We also have speaker submissions, right? So we had, I think, about almost about 150 submissions last year, right? And we had to streamline to about, you know, 39, 40, right? So typically that would be for like the workshops and the talks, right? So my team also kind of like does the review and the selection for, you know, the final speakers that would speak. And then we also create the agenda, right? So that's the team I lead. We also have like the sponsorship team, we have the logistics team, we have, you know, several teams that we then have people leading.
That sounds really like something that's set up correctly and it's likely to grow, right? Is it based out of Lagos, or where is it physically held?
Yeah, so it's based out of Lagos for now, Lagos, Nigeria. Yeah, but I mean, obviously there are conversations around, you know, moving it around and all that. But currently, it's based out of Lagos, Nigeria.
But I'll be very, very curious to follow it. It looked very great when I looked at the pictures and your conclusions, and it really sounded a lot of fun. You're welcome. So I wanna talk a little bit about the status, and maybe we can get into it a little more in depth if you feel like it. But I would wanna know. I think a lot of listeners would find it very interesting to know what the data and tech scene is like on the African continent. I want to also just state that I asked you beforehand if it was okay to ask you such a broad question, because it's a very big continent. You're okay with it, because it's like it's something that you would obviously be very qualified to answer, right? Given your role in DataFest Africa. So can you tell us a little bit about the various tech hubs around on the continent?
Okay, so let me start by. Let me use you know, Nigeria is my case study, then, you know, I can always talk about the rest of Africa, right? All right. So I'll say that the data space had actually been around for a decade and a half. I mean, if I use Nigeria as, you know, the case study. However, it was limited to, you know, large enterprises, the banks, the telecom companies. They had, like, you know, MIS and teams, which were technically data teams that would, you know, crunch numbers and do a lot of the analysis. However, what was missing was the community aspect of things. There wasn't really a strong community, right? And I'll say that was the huge gap that existed. And sometime around 2016, 2017, you then had, you know, that community was kind of like built, right? You had organizations like Data Science Nigeria, which now spans across Africa, by the way, which is called Data Scientist Network, and, you know, covers various areas across Africa. You had the likes of AI Saturdays, you had the likes of Covent Labs, Technidos, and a lot of those organizations, what they did was they started to create some form of community around the space. And I'd say that it's that community-driven approach, you know, that has then led to a lot of the growth that you see today. And the truth is, it wasn't just limited to Nigeria. We then started to find out that even other places, the likes of Kenya, the likes of Ghana, South Africa, you know, started to find out that there were more people, Ethiopia, right, and the likes, there were more people, Tanzania, right, there were more people, you know, getting interested in the data space and, you know, finding out about, you know, what this was all about. You had more people showing interest. You had more people who, you know, became professionals in the space and were ready to mentor other people. And you also had more conferences, you know, springing up, the likes of Deep Learning in Daba, right? And quite a number of other conferences, right, that started to spring up. And the interesting thing about it is it wasn't just limited to the data space. In fact, I think, you know, right before the 2016, 2017s, the software development space had also started to, like, undergo some form of, you know, revolution in that line, right, where you had several people getting interested in software development. You had several hubs, you know, coming up across, you know, various countries in Africa, and people starting to show interest, right? The beautiful thing about it is now anybody can learn, you know, a lot of these skills once they have a laptop and they have good internet, right? It's easy to pick up the skills. However, what has also helped, like I said, is that community-driven approach, right? And today, you have data communities, you know, across Africa. You have software dev communities. You have UI UX communities, and that is what is fueling a lot of the growth that, you know, we can see today, right, across Africa. Yeah, so I'd say that's the status, actually. And the future is definitely bright.
yes. Tell us about the future, Ayo. What's the future for data and tech like on the African continent?
All right. So I'd say that, you know, what's likely to happen in the short to medium term is that Africa is going to become like a tech talent hub. Mm-hmm. It's already happening. It's already actually happening. But I think the scale is definitely going to increase in the coming years. And I'll put that at short to medium term, to be honest, because, again, a lot of this had started, you know, a few years back, right? So we'll start to see the effect of that in the short to medium term. The beautiful thing about it is you also have governments, you know, starting to get involved, you know, in creating, you know, that conducive environment, you know, for tech talent and all that, likes of Rwanda. You have even Nigeria, right? Just a few months ago, the Minister of Communication and Digital Economy in Nigeria launched, his ministry launched a new initiative to train over 3 million tech talents, right, over the next 3-4 years, right? And one of the strong pillars of that is that they're looking to export, you know, tech talent, not just train, but they're also looking for avenues to export that talent, right? So I'd say that a lot of all these is, so beyond just being community driven, we're also seeing the involvement of governments And obviously that is going to make that future of, you know, being a tech talent hub a reality even faster than anyone can imagine. So I'll say that, yeah, that's the future, and it's really an amazing one and a great one. Yeah,
that sounds great. I really think that sounds great. And I think also comparing, I mean, to the rest of the world, I think that's the strength of these open communities. A lot of people join like the global data community from various different backgrounds, but compared to earlier days where skills were very isolated inside universities and there were no global communication around it, I think people just approach this community and bring what they have and learn from each other. And I think that's a super, super fun thing to be part of. I mean, it's just amazing that you can meet so many people online, share ideas, mm-hmm. experiences, and learn so easily. That's just very encouraging, right? And it definitely sounds as if some serious tech hubs are on the rise on the African continent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I that was more or less it. I would love to join DataFest Africa. If possible, I'd be happy to join. I want to say thank you, Ayo, for being on. Take care, right. And stay in touch.
All right. Thank you, Lee. Thank you very much.